Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Popp, and I hope to take you back in time to meet up close and personal some of the stars that I had the pleasure of interviewing over my many years in radio and television. Now, they still resonate in my memory for their candid stories about who they were and how the public perceived them and even their work. Now, this episode takes me back to a glamorous time on TV with the likes of the television series Dynasty. Remember how the ladies dressed? Now, the whole country, they tried to mimic how they dressed. And I have to admit, I was influenced too, but on a more thrifty scale, if you know what I mean. Now, with me is my producer, Kenneth Segura Knoll. I know, Ken, you were not influenced by how the ladies dressed, but you have to admit, Linda Evans was a beauty.
Yes, she was. And, you know, she had a, well, we'll hear it in the interview, but interesting relationship with John Derrick.
Oh, yeah. Well, she had with several people, as a matter of fact. If you remember, folks, Linda Evans was in the TV series Big Valley from 65 to 69. Then Dynasty came about, 81 to 89. And she was, I mean, to the nines all the time. Those women were just gorgeous. The other thing, and we're going to hear the story behind this, Big Valley, of course, had star Barbara Stanwyck, and she had been, you know, in so many movies, and she was a mentor to Linda Evans. And I think that's just wonderful to see actors helping other actors and help, you know, giving them the expertise that they've had for so many years. But then she moved to a 70-acre land in Washington State and kind of just kick back for a while. But there's a whole lot of other stories that we need to say, and I don't need to say. I want her to tell you. So I'm going to say this. I am sure you'll recognize this iconic theme that led to the story for the Night of Dynasty.
Of course, looking back, she was the gorgeous daughter Audra Barclay on Big Valley. And then, of course, she married an oil baron on Dynasty. What a career this woman has had. From dining with kings, queens, and presidents to sharing the screen with some of the greatest actors of their era. From Rock Hudson to, well, I can just name a whole bunch. I don't take all the time. But Linda Evans has experienced it all. From joy to heartbreak and all the memorable experiences, they're all linked to recipes in her life. And so comes her book called Recipes for Life. Linda, what a pleasure to have you with us on Pop Off.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
So why recipes for memories?
Well, it isn't just recipes. It is all the anecdotes. I took my entire life and put it in and appropriately, because I have a love and a passion for eating and cooking and serving people food and watching them eat it and then just melting them, enjoying it.
So how do you keep that wonderful figure?
I walk every day, about like an hour to an hour and a half. It raises your metabolism and lets you do all sorts of naughty things.
Oh, very good. What is your favorite recipe in the book?
You know, it's like saying, what's your favorite kid? It would be really hard, because I have collected over the years the finest recipes. So there's so many chocolate desserts in there that to me are classics, absolutely the best ever. Chocolate, see, my idea of chocolate is rich with chocolate, but not real sweet. And so I have a chocolate molten cake. I have a chocolate souffled pudding. I mean, and when I tell you crowd pleasers, people will just faint and say, please, can I have the recipe? It's the truth.
I love it. Now, you have done so many wonderful things in your life. If you could pick the best thing in your life, something that is, it will always be a memory for you, whether it's a recipe or not, something that is the best thing that's ever happened to you in your life.
Well, the best thing that ever happened to me in my life would be Dynasty, because I had left my second marriage, and all I'd wanted all my life was to be married and have children. Mm. And I was so discouraged. I was almost 40, and I realized I just couldn't quite make life give me what I wanted. And so I was going to, for the first time in my life, have a career. I wanted to be independent as a woman. I wanted to make my money. I wanted to have a career. And my agent said, oh, my God, you're almost 40. Now you want your career. And God, a dynasty came and allowed me to be independent and never have to work in my life. And to me, that freedom, the freedom that I wasn't looking for someone to complete me, that I learned to complete myself, was everything.
Good for you. I mean, that is such a stand-up thing to discover yourself and to know that you could stand on your own two feet and you didn't need anybody else necessarily, unless you wanted it.
Right. And it was an old-fashioned dream of get married, have kids, and that was it. That's all I ever wanted. And I said, okay, let's look at life a different way now.
Good for you. Now, your first husband, was John Derrick your first love or first husband?
He was my first husband. I'd seen him when I was a teenager in a movie. He was on the screen on an Arabian horse riding over the desert. And I said to my sister, I'm going to marry that guy. And she said, yeah, what are the odds?
I love it. So how did you meet?
I had done the pilot for Big Valley. And he had seen it. And he was doing photography. He had retired from acting and was doing filmmaking and photography. And his wife at the time, Ursula Andres, was in Europe doing a film with Jean-Paul Belmondo. Mm-hmm. And he asked me to come over. I met him, and I thought, oh, my God, he's just as beautiful and romantic as I thought. And he talked about his wife, Ursula, as his bride after 9 years. I thought, oh, my God, how lucky she is. And we went away, and I heard from him a few months later. She had run off with her leading man, and he wanted to take more pictures, and we ended up getting married.
Fantastic. How long were you married to him?
9 years.
9 years. Wow, that's pretty long for Hollywood style, right?
Well, no, it was just long enough until he fell in love with Bo Derek.
Amazing.
And she was 15 at the time, and I thought, well, that's not going to work. He's going to come back. But as life was so wonderful, I arrived at a moment where I said, what in the world am I doing? Why do I want him? Why don't I go have a life? And I put my mind to myself, to me, and jobs came in, and I did a movie with Richard Burton and some other things, and then I met my second husband.
And that was Stan Herman, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know what? When you worked on Big Valley, Barbara Stanwyck was such a star and an icon, but I understand she was probably one of the most loving people and sharing people. Was she?
Well, she was phenomenal with me. She was my mentor. She really helped me understand the business and how to be a professional in it, and it has served me all my career. And not only that, she called me Audra from the minute she met me. She never once said Linda. I was Audra. I was her daughter. And she put her arm around me when my mom passed during Big Valley, and she said, look, I'll never replace your mom, but I will be there for you for the rest of my life. And she was. She was just amazing.
I've heard wonderful things about her. I mentioned before we went on the air that June DiMaggio, a good friend of mine, and she was the person who gave me the stories that I wrote, Marilyn, Joe, and Me, about Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, really?
Her uncle. I have to send you a book because you'll see some wonderful stories.
Oh, I would love it.
Yeah, I'll make sure you get one. But it's just, it was such a wonderful feeling to know that there are warm people in Hollywood, that someone like a Barbara Stanwyck would, take you under her wing and share her expertise with you.
Well, that's why I shared a couple of stories in there about things that she did that I just thought were very touching that I never had a chance to talk about.
Oh, beautiful. Now, you've got a recipe from her, Missy's Hobo Filet, right?
Well, actually, it's one we used to go to a famous restaurant in Los Angeles called Chasen's, where Lisa Taylor and Richard Burton made it famous when they sent chili from there when they were doing Cleopatra.
Uh-huh.
But it was a fabulous restaurant that we used to go to all the time, and we would always get something called the hobo steak.
Awesome.
That just was our dinners out.
What in your life do you think has been like a very big heartbreak for you. Was it Derek, John Derek, or was it something in a career type of thing that you had to overcome and say, no, I can make this, I can do it, I'm strong enough?
Well, I think that that John left for Bo, and I was only 27. It was like, oh my God, I'm washed up at 27.
It was my God, how could you think that? You were so...
Because I had no sense of it coming.
Oh.
And that was the hardest thing. But, you know, I learned such a valuable lesson that when you take your mind off the problem and put it to the solution, that your whole life can turn around. And that because it was such a dream to be with him and such a fairy tale whole thing that happened, I suffered with it for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And when I realized all I had to do was change my mind and my life could change so quickly, it was a great life lesson for me. And it also helped me when I left my second husband because he was a playboy. Mm. And I thought, God, from the frying pan into the fire.
Oh, gosh.
I look back and see that both of those prompted me to get a life for myself and to really set me on the path of knowing who I was and what I was all about. Because women are caretakers. We tend to take care of everybody.
And see,
you know, and we're usually the last ones we take care of.
And the people, when we see you on screen, we see you as a very strong, a very stoic woman. And we don't see that there's heartbreak behind all of that. And you have to deal with it. And you have to come out on the other side of it.
Well, one of the things that I endeavored to do in my book, and I also, I do talks. This is my favorite thing now. I go around America talking to women's groups about different issues. I wanted to share with them that women are all insecure. Every woman. I mean, I don't care who you find. Look at Princess Diana, for God's sake. We all thought, wow, she's got it all.
Yeah.
But all of us have insecurity problems. All of us have vulnerability. And I wanted to share with women that movie stars and television stars are just like everyone else.
Yeah.
We all have these things we have to work through.
You're so right. I'll never forget, there was a makeup artist in Hollywood. Oh, this is many years ago, because I've been doing radio and television for about 35 years now. And early on, he told me, he did my makeup, and I was doing a little thing in Hollywood. And it was so funny, because I said, I just don't, you know, I don't like the way I look. You know, my nose is this, and it was a complete whining. I was whining. And he said, you know what? You're all alike. And I said, what? He said he used to work on Jane Mansfield. Now, you would think there was nothing wrong with Jane Mansfield. He said she would sit in this same chair and complain about everything, you know. Just,
well, see, that's the truth.
You're right. You're right.
It's poignant. And as long as we all know it's there, and if we just would stop comparing ourselves to others and just love who we are, that each one of us individually is so unique and beautiful in our own way.
Yeah.
We can't possibly want, we should not try to be anything but ourselves.
But we do. I mean, especially like young people, it scares me. You know, when you have little kids who are bulimic or anorexic at 7 or 8 years old because they think they're fat. You know?
Right.
What the heck are we doing?
Yeah, it's very dangerous because when they're teenagers and they go on diet, they stop. They'll get osteoporosis later on in life because it's their bone building years and they're starving themselves, so their body can't build the bones they need.
Yeah.
And 50% of women get osteoporosis when they're older. And my God, we have to just stop this and inform people how they can take care of themselves.
Yeah. You see all these, you know, supermodels, which they're beautiful, don't get me wrong. But my gosh, Peter Lamas, who's a makeup artist to the stars in Hollywood, he used to say they're beautiful and, you know, they got figures. But he said they're kind of like walking hangers. You know, you can put clothes on them, any kind of clothes. It's not that they have a shape. And don't worry if you have a shape. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it's a terrible price to pay for what, you know, they have to do to look that way. But that's why after Dynasty, I moved up to the Pacific Northwest and gained 25 pounds and just tried to get away from the image of what I had to look like for so many years. It was just so much fun to stay up late at night and eat and drink and do and be
live real life.
And that was until I fell in love with Yanni and then tried to lose it instantly. And it,
you know what? It's so interesting talking about Yanni. Hey, Ken, I don't know, you're a musician and a writer and a performer, et cetera. What did you think of Yanni?
Oh, I thought he was a great musician.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he was very good. But, you know, interesting that Dynasty, the theme was written by Bill Conti.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he wrote Rocky and all these other great. There's two composers in Hollywood, and John Williams and Bill Conti, you know, from that era, and that are just great composers. But he wrote that, the theme for Dynasty.
Excellent.
When I heard the theme, I remembered it was Bill Conti. Yeah. So,
it brings back memories, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And she's, I guess, around 83 now. I've got a phone call into her, too, to see if she's able to, you know, possibly do an update. I'd like to do updates with some of these people. Some we can, some we can't, for obvious reasons. You know, it's, they're up there in years, or they might have some medical problems. And actually, going back quite a bit, Linda Evans had two sisters and a good friend who had serious health problems. And it threw her, Linda, into a very deep depression. And then 6 years later, she had a slip disc. And she didn't tell me how it happened, but a slip disc. She had four surgeries to improve the slip disc. So we don't know about those things that happen behind the scenes. Because when they put them in front of the camera, they got to be beautiful. They have to be vivacious. They've got to be in character. And if you've got pain, that's just too bad. You got to deal with it. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. You know, Dynasty was filmed on the Warner's back lot, which was interesting.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting. Well, it's just, I don't know. It was a nighttime soap opera is what it was. And it was billed that way. It was like, you know, a continuation thing, you know, something that would happen. And it kept people going for a long time. It was very successful. So I guess they had the magic back then. I don't know if something like that would go today. What do you think? Too many channels. Too many things to look at.
Yeah, I don't know. I stopped trying to guess what will work on television as a producer.
I have to get your read on this because, you know, I've got something like, you know, 200 channels. Number one, I can't watch them all. So maybe I get hooked on one or two or three, maybe even five, but it's like I can't watch them all, and I'm probably missing some good ones too, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, I tell my wife 500 channels and nothing to watch.
Oh, well, yeah. It's almost like that.
I probably spend more time scanning, you know, the TV guides on the screen to find something to watch. And then I end up watching something I already saw, but I like so much. If The Wizard of Oz is on, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Godfather, same thing. One movie that I watched the other day, 2012, and I've seen it a couple of times. You know, it talks about, you know, how the world's coming to an end and all that kind of thing. Or The Day After Tomorrow is another movie. And War of the Worlds, the old one. Mm-hmm. I like the originals, usually. And my absolute favorite movie, now you're going to laugh at this because I am a science fiction fan, but this one, it had a message, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, yeah. That's,
you know, and it was so simple. They didn't have any special effects. They didn't have any computer generated anything, but it was like, what a message. You know, anybody comes that's alien in any way, you got to go after them. Instead of trying to figure out how do we get along. And that still holds true today.
My favorite film is Big Fish.
Oh, really? Well, that's good. But you have a favorite, and it's kind of fun to watch them over and over and over again.
Because the message of Big Fish is, you know, there's some truth to every story. And as we get older, those stories get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But there's some truth to every story. And I don't know if you've seen the movie Big Fish, but it's great. Are you familiar?
No, I got to go back and watch it again.
A young man brings his girlfriend to meet his dying father. And the dying father, he warns the girlfriend, my dad's going to tell you these incredible stories about these Siamese twin girls that he met and this and that. And he tells these stories and they go back and his vision of the stories are played out. So they're elaborate. But when he dies, all those characters in some form show up at his funeral. And
oh.
You go, oh, that's who that was, you know. So as we get older, our stories get bigger and bigger. At least my kids think, say that it didn't happen that way, Dad.
They get augmented a little bit, you know, more flamboyant type of stories.
Yeah. You know, Linda Evans, I mean, to be in that whole John Derek, Bo, all that, you know, scene, she must have some incredible stories.
Some of which I'm sure, I wish she would really write a book about that. I mean, she's still going. She could still do another book. If Sissy can do it, you know, and other people that we've talked to. But right. The one question that I kind of was curious about, because, I mean, I enjoyed Yanni. I mean, she said she was really, you know, smitten by Yanni, the musician. So, you know me, Ken, I was curious, what did Linda Evans see in this musician, Yanni?
What didn't I see in Yanni? I met him. I opened the door and took one look at him. I almost fainted. My heart exploded. I wanted to slap him and say, where have you been all my life? I've been waiting for you.
No kidding.
Oh, my God. I was so in love from the second I looked into his eyes. It was more than anything I'd ever felt in my entire life.
Amazing.
And that's why I was so horrified, because, my God, this was, I mean, I didn't know what a Yanni was. I thought he could have even been Japanese, you know?
Yeah.
I was not prepared when I saw him for who he was, and that he was 12 years younger, and that he was in the music business. Just that everything said to me, don't do this. This can't possibly work. It's outrageous, and there's no way I couldn't have done it. I had to. I was compelled by my heart.
Oh, you were controlled by your heart a lot in your life, huh?
I go where my heart says to, regardless of the outcome, and I never, ever regret it.
Good for
ever.
You. You don't look back. You look forward.
Nope, I don't look back, and I think of the beautiful things I learned and what I got out of it, and if it's time to be over, it's over, and move on.
You're amazing. Now, you also landed up behind the camera. Is it true that you actually shot dramatic footage of Evel Knievel's famous daredevil jump at Caesars?
Yeah, absolutely. He was a friend of John Derek's and mine, mm-hmm. and John wanted to help him. He, you know, was filming and doing filmmaking things then, and Evel asked us to photograph the jump he was making at Caesar's Palace, and it was only the night before when we were there with him that he shared with us that he didn't think he could actually make the jump. And John said, my God, you're asking us to film you doing this daredevil stunt, and you know you're not going to make it?
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, he was horrified and tried to talk him out of it, and he said no, he had to do it. The people were coming from all over the world. There would be cameras and whatever there. So John said, okay, we will film it, and we will give it to you, but we don't want to. We were going to do a production company with him. We don't want to be in business with you, because if you do this to yourself, just, you know, we'd want to be a part of something like that. And John had me up all night trying to teach me how to do the complicated camera, which was the long lens from the front, because he wasn't certain if I used the camera in the front that I could get it. And he had to be sure he could give him some film. And my God, it was unbelievable that I was able to be present after he came across and crashed, because it was just so sad, like a rag doll. He was just taken apart.
Oh.
I don't know what in me hung in there, because I didn't know until the film came back that I even got it. I was so horrified.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's a strong person to pull it off like you did. Good for you. I mean, good for you in the positive way, negative because you had to view that whole thing.
My heart was going, okay, this can't be happening to him.
Yeah. I got to ask you, though, many, many, many years ago, 1976, because I started doing television in 74, I had Rock Hudson on a show. This was back in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I remember I was just thrilled because at the end of that interview, I got an on-screen kiss from Rock Hudson. Now,
oh, my God. How funny is that?
This is way back before HIV and, you know, all that. But you actually had such a friend in Rock Hudson, because when he came on Dynasty, he didn't want to kiss you, the passionate kiss, right?
Right. It was part of a story plot to make the fans think that Crystal was going to have an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And we had worked before, Macmillan and Wife, in the 70s, and as a practical joke, he threw me down on the couch and kissed me quite passionately to fool the director on something. And I thought, wow, Rock Hudson really is a very romantic kisser. And so when it came time to do this particular scene that we were doing outside, we were filming out on location, Rock, kept his lips together and was very non-passionate. And it really confused the director and the producers, and they tried to film it over and over and over again. And he maintained that until frustrated. At the end of the day, they just said, okay, wrap. We'll just go back to the studio and we'll go on. Mm-hmm. And later, they came back and said, you know, we just, that seems so important. We're going to go back and film it, which they never did because it cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of pressure on Rock, and he went back to film it again, and he did the same thing.
Oh, bless.
And it was only months later that when it came out that he was dying of AIDS, and that I realized
he cared that much.
He had tried to protect me as best he could, in spite of how hard everyone tried to make him do it different.
That to have that kind of strength. I mean, to know he's dying of it, and but not, and wanting to protect you too. I mean, that takes a very strong person.
No, he was an extraordinarily beautiful man, and the sadness was that at that time no one knew much about AIDS, and they were so fearful.
Yes.
And the press came out and said he put me in jeopardy, and how horrible he was, and they just got the whole picture of it wrong, the whole perspective wrong.
Yeah.
And people were so frightened. Some people on the set wouldn't even be in the makeup room with me, and some
no
of my
kid.
Friends wouldn't come over to my house.
Are you serious?
And I'm so pleased that so much information has come out, because what a tragedy for us not to be more sensitive to these people and more informed about what actually is going on.
Amazing. Just amazing. Now, on a lighter note, you actually had breakfast with Richard Burton, and what did he offer you for breakfast?
My friend Bunky was with me, and we were working. I was working, and he invited me into the motorhome in the morning. It was like 8 in the morning to run lines, and he asked my friend Bunky if she would like to have a drink. And she said, oh, sure, thank you, thinking she was going to get orange juice or coffee. And he large tumblers, filled them with vodka, handed her one and said, nice to meet you, and toasted it and drank it down, and she just stared.
No way. Oh, my gosh.
But see, he was getting a divorce from Elizabeth Taylor. She had left him. He was so sad. He was so unhappy and so in love with her that it was a very hard time for him.
Oh, I bet. And I don't think people realize, and you're the epitome of that. We always think of you as successful, beautiful, you're on all these series, all this wonderful stuff. Nothing possibly could happen that's negative to you in your life.
No.
And it's wrong. Just wrong.
Right.
I mean, you have to go through a lot, and they don't realize, you know, you have no private life. I'm sure when you walk down the street, unless you're really incognito, you know, you're Linda Evans. That's it. You know, you're going to be stopped. You're going to be asked. You know, you're going to be pawed, more or less. But it's all, I mean, they mean it in love. I mean, they don't mean any harm or anything. But you have no private life, do you?
No, but see, that is the trade-off. You know, people think, what a glamorous life, you know. And the truth is, it's beautiful to be known by the public, because during Dynasty, I could go anywhere in the world and get off a train or a plane, walk down the street, and people go, Crystal or Audra, run over like I'm a member of their family. So that's the sweet part. The sweet part is being in someone's home for so many years, for 9 years, helps them to feel close to you. So that's very dear. The only thing that's difficult with it is if you're having a hard time and you're fighting with your boyfriend and you're at a restaurant and you're crying, and then people are all watching and like,
they
have any private moments.
Well, and especially
and
now.
It's harder. I feel very bad.
I mean, they've got cell phones and they put it right up on YouTube. You know, it's like immediate.
Yeah, it's very hard today, much harder than when I was around doing it.
Is it true that you, a guest spot on Circus of the Stars, you had there was a mishap with a 200-pound leopard?
Yeah, Sheba, she was fabulous. I wanted to do one of their acts, and my friend Bunky said, don't do any stupid poodle acts, and we'll get you something exciting. And so when I found out that Sheba was a potential, I said, okay, let's do it. I've met Sheba in the Midwest. I saw her go through the act, and I actually worked with her. It was just a piece of cake, but they came out to California on a day that was 113 degrees, and I started working with her, and it turns out she'd never been outside of the tent, worked outside in the open, so that probably was very difficult for her, and the heat. And when I tried to make her go through the routine, she would just put her face down and just growl at it, and the trainer said, you got to take control. Right now, this is not a pussycat. This is a wild animal. Yeah. You've got to take that whip and show her who's boss. Hit her. And I went, oh, my God, I hate to hit anything. And, of course, I gave her a little whack on the feet, which, you know, was not exactly strong enough. And she just jumped off where she was and grabbed me by the chest and took me to and it was like, oh, my God. She could have eaten my chest off. I mean, that's what she was capable of. Her teeth went into my chest, and they took me to the emergency hospital. And when we came back, they had suited her out of town, her owners, so that she wouldn't be quarantined.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. I understood what happened. It just, I'm not very good at doing that kind of thing.
Well, and a wild animal is a wild animal, you know? You never know. They do stuff you don't expect.
I found out.
We think of them as kitty cats. Not exactly. I know
she
what you
said.
Mean. Amazing. Now, we're coming up close to Thanksgiving, and I've been asking people on the air on a regular basis, what does Linda Evans have to be thankful for the most in your life this year?
Oh, my God, everything. I mean, that I'm turning 70 in a week, that I'm so healthy, that I have 30 to 40 years of life left ahead. Women are living longer and longer now. It's 89, 90, 100. That I have such a wonderful attitude about age and that we all have long lives. I'm very, very grateful to be alive and to have this opportunity to be alive at this great moment in time.
Any new projects on the horizon?
Well, you know what I've been doing, and it gives me the most joy, is I've been going around talking to women's groups. That is just so wonderful to connect with them, to share my life with them, to hear their questions and give them the wisdom that I've learned along the way. That's just been phenomenal, and I get such joy out of it.
Oh, it sounds like you do. I got to tell you, one of my favorite recipes in your book is Mom's hot dog stew.
Oh, did you taste it?
Yes, I tried it. It's excellent.
It is. It's such a surpriser. I mean, my mom didn't have much money after my dad passed away, and she used to make that. Oh, my God, people love it.
Yeah.
It has so much flavor. It's just shocking to me how tasty that little thing is.
Well, you know, we always go with the fancy schmancy. You know, we watch all the Food Network and everything, and they get all this fancy stuff. Hey, you throw a bunch of stuff in a pot, and boy, it turns out really great.
I have some fancy things in there.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but no, I'm glad you like that because it's very affordable and it's really delicious. If you make it once, you'll make it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. This has been such a pleasure. I hate to say thank you and goodbye. Can you come? Could we do this again?
Of course we can.
Oh, this
absolutely.
Well, I'm going to talk with Donna and see if we can schedule another time because I hate it. The time is gone and I don't know where it went. Just too much.
Hey, let's do it again.
Fantastic. And again, the book, I assume, is available every place. Recipes for Life.
Yes. Well, you can get it Amazon. You can Barnes & Noble and LindaEvansOfficial.com. I think directs people to it as well. I think it's a Kindle edition as well.
Oh, fantastic. This has been such a pleasure. You are such an inspiration to everyone on many aspects, as an actress, obviously, as a performer, but even more so as a human being. And we really appreciate that.
You're very sweet. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Likewise. And I'm going to get a book to you and we're going to
talk
again. Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much, Linda. And happy Thanksgiving.
And when do you want to get my address? How do you do that? You can get it to Laura.
You know what? Why don't you just stay right on the line, and during my commercial break, I'll do that.
All right.
Stay with me.
Excellent.
That's Linda Evans, the name of the book, Recipes for Life, My Memories. It's a wonderful book. You've got to get this. It's not only the recipes. It's the anecdotes and the stories. There's so many in there. I wish I would have had 2 more hours with Linda. We got to have her back again. Again, Recipes for Life. You can go to lindaevans.com also. And the stars, well, they just go on Pop Off.
I just loved talking with her. She was just so real and so honest. And, you know, a lot of times these stars they'll say, oh, well, I can't talk about that, or I don't want to. Nothing. She was just wide open on everything. One story she did share off the air, she was flying. I forget where she was going, but they had a hop in Australia, a tiny little airport. And it was a little town that only had like 10 huts in it, period. And she said she got off the plane while they were refueling. And all of a sudden, this little man goes, Crystal, Crystal, yelling at her and running at her. And she said, I'm in this tiny little place that has no reception on anything, except she saw a little antenna on the side of his hut. And that's how he knew about Dynasty. That's the fame that she had, a tiny little place in Australia. Now, and she also, in 2019, she did fall in love with a script called Swan Song. It was a dark comedy. I'm going to find out if that was ever produced and done. We need some updates on some of these people because they're also special, don't you think, Ken?
Oh, yes. And then the people she talked about, I mean, from John Derek to Yanni to Richard Burton to on and on. I mean, just wow.
And she was so honest and straightforward about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of times they try to gloss it over. Uh-uh. She told it like it was.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they're around these people in a whole different environment. And, you know, people can drive by and see these people. But we got the inside information.
You bet. The inside scoop. Well, that ends another episode, Ken, of years gone by and the famous folks that made them so precious. And our hope is that all our folks will continue to be with us each week for another great time with these wonderful folks from TV. And of course, with you, Ken, my producer, Ken Knoll, and engineer, Greg. And we're going to keep talking to these folks from TV, movies, and more on Pop Star Talk. We'll be there for you with great interviews and share some insights into their lives. So till our next time together, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and always dare to dream.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.